We just praise you and thank you that, Lord, we can come before you to receive your, Lord, direction and to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts, Lord, that we may receive understanding and the wisdom and the, Lord, ability to operate in the way that you want us to, in the way that makes a difference, in a way that we can, Lord, be used by you to change the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have started with the first one, and the one, the evidence, or the what happens when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we saw some of the elements that show the importance of speaking in tongues. Now, there are a number of reasons, and I've started to look at some of the reasons why we should, as believers. And there are so many that we couldn't finish in one time, in one session. The world today rushes through things all the time. There's always pressure to do, and really you can't get anywhere spiritually rushing through things. You have to take your time, enough time, so the things sinks inside your heart. This is why you can read the Bible and read it just like a book and doesn't do anything to you. It's when you take the time to think and meditate on the Word, when you allow the Word to start changing the way you think deeply inside you, that you're going to be transformed. And so I prefer to take time to get enough in thoughts to the things we cover, because that way you're going to benefit most and you're going to get understanding and it's going to change you. Otherwise, you go out of there and your mind, even now, your mind is not going to remember some of the things unless you took notes, and unless most of it in one day is gone, and maybe in half a day is gone. But if you take enough time, see what I do when I speak, I meditate the way I would do for myself, and I carry you into that space so that you end up doing the same. If you are listening, if you are falling asleep, that's another story. Okay, but even if you're falling asleep, something gets there. Okay, and that something that gets there is not a logical remembrance of what I said. It's the experience that you had that I was communicating to you. So sometimes I may just do things that are not completely logical, like 1, 2, 3 type of thing. But 1, 2, 3 type of thing doesn't change you. What changes you is the experience you had at the level of your heart. And this is where the Holy Spirit becomes important. I tried, when I preach, to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And this is why sometimes I change my message, the message I prepared the night before, spending all time, just because he's leading me in a different direction. And when he does that, there is always a reason. And we are going to see that this is one of the manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit when we get there. Not today, maybe next week. But the idea is that we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to guide us. And sometimes our preparation is just a preparation of the heart. But the mind sometimes receives things later, after we are prepared, and just changes everything that we had planned to do. We have to learn to do that, not to be sticky about, no, I prepared, and that's the way it's going to be. Because you are not in control if you allow him to be in control. Now, tongues is one of the areas in which we learn not to be in control. See, this is what happens when the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what happened all the time. In the book of Acts, when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, the people knew that they were filled with the Holy Spirit because they started to speak in tongues. And I'm not going to read all the examples there. If you read the book of Acts, you're going to find out that. Because, you know, even when it doesn't say that, it says that the other ones knew. How do they know? Well, because they were speaking in tongues. Now, you see, we saw some of the reason why is something that believers should want. So we started with the fact that this was the first thing that happens when somebody is filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, one releases the what is inside you and comes out by heavenly or whatever language. Okay, you're going to see also, that's just the introduction. Later on the gifts, I'm going to be more specific about that. One of the things then is when we speak in tongues, when we are filled, it's as the Spirit gives us utterance. It's the Spirit gives us utterance, but we are the ones speaking. The second thing is the evidence of the Spirit that is dwelling on us. If you know that you are not doing it yourself, you are just being a channel of the Holy Spirit. But the thing is, you see, that's an evidence that the Holy Spirit is inside you. And so helps you to be aware of the presence of God inside you. Then, it helps us to pray according to God's will. And I'm not going through all the scriptures I did last week. So that when we don't know how to pray, we go to before God, and we start speaking in tongues, he guides us, the Holy Spirit guides us to pray according to God's will. So that's an important thing. We know that we are not praying whatever. Okay. Then we pray for things that we do not know sometimes. Sometimes we are called to prayer and we don't know what's going on, and you feel the anointing to pray, and you start praying, and you may make a difference in your own life or somebody else's life. And you don't know, but the call to prayer, you responded, and God is using you in a way that your mind cannot catch up yet. Sometimes you get it too. Sometimes, you know, as you do that, you may get a vision, an understanding, a revelation or something, but not all the time. When you need it, you can have it. My suggestion I had last week is when you get that, write down whatever experience you have. Put the time, put the things, because sometimes you are going to be surprised. The other thing is, we see there are at least two scriptures showing that when you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself. That means, you know, you make yourself stronger, you lift up the level of your faith. Now, one of the things we have to realize that we don't need to speak out in tongues, you can speak in tongues within yourself. You can go to places, and as you are there, you will not start speaking to people saying you're crazy. But you can speak within yourself to build yourself up. I remember when I was working in the government, I was going to some meetings that were, you know, I was a consultant, so I was going in places where there are problems. And so there was conflict there. And people were fighting with each other, and I was within myself. I was speaking in tongues and praising the Lord. And generally, I always was finding a solution. I mean, when I was living there, the thing was resolved. Why? Because it wasn't just myself. I was receiving from God the direction to do the things that needed to be done. Then, as usual, what happens, you leave and they go back into their old things. But that's their problem. But I was doing my job. Can speak quietly to ourselves. So this is something that we had to learn to do. Then there is a component of public speaking in tongue publicly, which I started last item of the last at the end of the meeting. So let's go back to the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. It says, now what is the conclusion then? If I pray with the Spirit, I also pray with the understanding. If I sing in the Spirit, I will also sing with the understanding. It's not just one way of doing things. There is a balance here. we can do both. If we just, the only thing is speak in tongues all the time, likely most of the people don't know what's going on. But there is a time to do that, and there is a time to pray in the proper, in the language people can understand. He said, continue here. You see, there is a balance and expression to communicate properly. Otherwise, if you bless in this, with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed? You know the uninformed word in Greek is idiotes. It doesn't mean idiots. It means just that they are not educated in the spiritual things. Okay? But that's the word idiot come from. Okay? I thought that was funny to bring it up. You can have a good time too in the Lord. You know, that's all right. Those who occupy the place of uninformed say amen at your giving thanks, since he does not understand. You know, how can he do that if he does not understand what you're saying? But for you indeed, give thanks well. You see, it's not that you're doing something wrong. You give thanks well. So he's saying that it's not wrong to do that, but to the others are not edified. So you see, the purpose of the gifts is to edify everybody. So you don't want to use the gifts in a way that does not edify the others. Okay? But be understanding, you may expect negative reaction when you do it the wrong way. So in a service, you don't go around speaking in tongues for a long time because most of the people won't be able to know what you're doing. Yeah, well, that's publicly. Home is different. I'm talking about public speaking. One thing that I said before, also the defying, one part of the edification, it makes your faith grow. See, but you, Jude 1:20, or just Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's what it's saying. Okay, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So really, it doesn't say just to pray in tongues, but you know, when you pray in tongues, you have to see the attitude that you have. So it's not just a question of saying something and being phased out. When we pray, we have to have something, we have to have the right attitude. We have to think properly. We have to connect with God. It's not to go around making sounds. Okay, we are connecting with God and we are expressing our connection with Him. And we are really, I read it before last week, we talk with God, not to man. See, the attitude of your spirit is very important when you speak in tongues. And that will direct your tongue. That would do even more, but see, one of the things that Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 23, says, but the hour is coming, and this was with the woman at the well. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So this was announcing the coming, so we're discussing, you know, how do we worship God, you know, the difference between the Jews and the Samaritans. And he said, who is right? We'll show, you know, things are going to get better even for what the Jews are doing. That's what he was telling. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, really, they're talking about two things here. He's talking about attitude, and he's talking about the fact that we are worshiping the Spirit with our heart with coming from even deeper than our hearts. Because our heart is really not the same thing as our spirit. It's close to, it's connected to it. Another thing, you know, from the Old Testament, there's a scripture that shows one other element of the effect of praying in tongues. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. says, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people. For whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear it. What is saying here? That one of the things, one of the results, that you come into rest. Is you come into the place in which you are going to move from wherever it's. So, say for example, if you are agitated, if you are upset or whatever, you start speaking in tongues by yourself, quietly or loud in your place, and you come to the place in which your heart quiet downs, and you are coming into a rest instead of being agitated anymore. I would say that's an important thing. Okay, it's going to make a difference when you are going through trouble, because that's the time when you are sometimes struggling and you are not finding solutions, and that instead, you know, brings you to the place of rest in which you can listen after to God, what He's telling you to do. Now, there is a final thing, and that is given in James chapter 3, verse 2. The book of James is an interesting book. It's a book that was written essentially for new believers. You may not have heard that before, but that's what the purpose of the book was. And you can see from the content of the book, there was a book for the new believers. All the instruction that James gives are things that new believers should know if they want to walk with God. But some of the things don't apply as well when you are developed as a believer. As you should know better. I mean, you should have gone beyond that. I could have shown you a number of points, maybe another time, but just read through it. And if you are starting to walk with God, this is the first book I believe that a new believer should read. Because it's given instruction on the things that he should be doing. So that you start walking in the way God wants him to walk. And one of the things it talks about is the first thing that you do with when you come to the Lord, you have to clean up your mouth. What happens to everybody? When you are in the world, you use the language of the world. When you become a believer, you start changing the way you speak. Okay, and here, James, one of the teaching that gives there already in chapter 3 is about the tongue. Now, if you are guided by the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't have problem with your tongues. That's why I say, you know, this is referring to new believers. If you have grown spiritually, if your mind has been renewed, your tongues should be subjected. And if you have grown anyway from the beginning, you know that you don't talk anymore the way you talked before. So evidently, it's not untamable the way it says here, because the Spirit of God can do everything. But in the flesh, there is no way that you can control your tongue. So let's read this. For verse 2 of chapter 3 of the book of James. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in words, he is a perfect man. You see, he's already saying that. He says, when you are perfected, when you are developed, when you are growing, then you are going to be able to control your tongue. Able also to bridle the whole body. You see, the effect of, there has been a development in which you take charge, you become master of yourself, or not anymore the emotions or the ideas of the world that are guiding you, but is the Spirit of God is inside you that has modified you and changed the way you are. Not only your mouth is going to be different, but also your actions, your behavior, everything that you do. Jesus' tongue was not unbridled. If we are called to become like him, we should become freer and freer from the fact that we couldn't do anything. And the tongue was going to go anywhere. You see, but as soon as you believe that, you find an excuse. The other way, you find an excuse that, well, you know, nobody can control it. Well, you know, you have to see, when you read the book in the Bible, you have to see who wrote the book, and number two, who was directed to. Because no, you cannot say the same thing to a baby Christian or to somebody that is grown up that should know better. Are you following me? This is important to understand because you can take, that's the problem with systematic theology. They put everything together and they think that that way things are going to be logically put together. They aren't. Because different scriptures are referring to different people at different situations. And that has to be considered in the interpretation of the scripture. Indeed, we put bit on horses' mouth, and they may obey us. We turn their whole body. Look at also a ship, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by every small rudder wherever the pilot decides. Even so, the tongue, a little member, and a boast great thing. See how great a forest a little fire kindle. So you see, the idea is that what we say produces big results in our life. Not only produces big results, but also is the evidence of what is inside there. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? When we start taking charge of our talking, and it's not just the loud talking, even the quiet talking. Probably that is even more important. Because we control our loud talking because we want to please people around us and we socially are constrained to do the right thing. But when we are within ourselves, we speak completely different things. You can say, somebody that comes for prayer and you ask them, you know, do you believe? Oh, yes, yes. But really, in reality, that's what they say with their mouth, but in reality they don't believe because at the moment after, they say, well, I don't know if it's worked. I won't tell anybody because, you know, maybe they're going to be criticized for that. But it's not what you make others believe or the show that you put up. It's what you really are that makes a difference. Okay? But when you start from someplace and you start controlling the way, what you say, what you think, and what you, see, what you think is what end up what you say. And that's what makes a difference. And that's what produces, you see, your speaking is nothing else than one of the manifestation of your thinking. But another one is your behavior. It's not much difference. Thinking comes produces behavior as well as speaking. Okay? Now, behavior, when our behavior is inconsistent, when you are by ourselves, we behave in a certain way, and when we are with the right crowd, you know, church, you behave piously, well, there is a problem there. Because in that case, what happens is that you are really fooling yourself. I'm not saying that you should have bad behavior in the church. I'm saying simply that you should be consistent. Otherwise, there is a hypocrisy that you have to deal with. Okay. I think that I don't need to go. You know, the tongue produces things. Evidently, what you say and what you think is going to produce your behavior is going to produce lots of problems. I don't need to read all the scriptures there. And so you have to control yourself the way you think first. And the way you control yourself the way you think, you have to start thinking the way God thinks. And to think the way God thinks is not according to your idea, you're going to do the Word of God. When you get the Word of God inside you deeply enough and you meditate on it and you start comparing yourself, you look at the Word and you see it becomes a mirror for yourself, you see yourself there and say, well, that doesn't look the way the Word says. I don't look that way. Then you know that you have things to change. And when you know that there are things to change, you have to make a decision. God is not going to decide for you. Oh, God, please do this. No, this is something that God expects from you. You have to make a decision to follow His word rather than follow the way you feel or the way you have been trained or the way you grow up or the way your family worked or whatever it is, doesn't matter, your friends. See, now what makes the difference? You decide to believe God's word. And that could be in any area. If you want to receive from God in some area, healing, baptism of the Holy Spirit, breakthrough in your things, you have to change the way you think. So, seems to me that I covered 10 different reasons, or 11, or whatever, why we should want to speak in tongues. And we have to understand that we have to be open to do that, and to overcome the resistance that our mind is going to put for that to happen. But, after having said that, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is much more than just speaking in tongues. There is a whole area of experiences that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of these experiences may actually have them before even you get the Holy Spirit, but they are not going to be operational. In fact, in the Old Testament, we can see many examples of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation on some special people that were anointed by the Holy Spirit. And we are going to use those as a reference to show you the way operated, but not just the Holy, you know, in the New Testament, that, you know, that was only mostly for special people like kings and prophets. But today we are kings and priests. And we all, if you are born again, you all have the ability not only to receive the Holy Spirit, because that's what Jesus came to give to us, but to operate in that dimension, in that area. That's the only way you're going to be transformed like He is. There is no way that you can be transformed like Jesus by not walking in the Spirit. That means walking in the flesh. Okay? And so it's important, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the training ground for us to understand how to walk in the Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. I mean, that means completely. He was walking, and just the Holy Spirit was working in him, and there was not any blockage. Wasn't really operating in the gifts, because the gifts were part of him. As the Spirit gives utterance to, or give the gifts to us, is just a gift. It's just one piece of the whole thing. But there is a training ground. This is a way we learn the experience to be able to walk all the time the way Jesus walked. So they are very important. This is the way we develop into the people that God wants us to be. And the final goal is for us to be fully operating in the Spirit, so that the gifts just flow naturally when they're needed. Now, the name of these things may not match completely with some of the things that the way the world calls things. So it's going to be interesting. I'm just going to start here. I'm starting with that we need to understand the gifts and not be afraid of these kind of things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," and I was spiritual, about spiritual things, because, you know, gifts are nothing else than a spiritual dimension. "I do not want you to be ignorant." So it's evidently that we can be ignorant about these things. Why can be ignorant? Well, because we have no experience. See, what is an ignorant person? Is somebody that doesn't understand. Has to do with understanding here. Okay? Not understanding. The word there, ignorance, is not understanding with your mind. You know that you were Gentiles. This is in the scripture, actually. We want to see some things. "Carried away by these dumb idols." The dumb idols are not stupid idols, are voiceless idols. See, idols that cannot speak, they cannot communicate to us. Here, the Holy Spirit communicates to us, interacts with us, affects us in a real way. Okay. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So here he's saying that I want you to learn to operate in this dimension, that you have understanding about the way spiritual things are happening, and he's going to explain it that later. But it's interesting what you're saying and the way he is saying it. You see, what he's saying is gifts cannot really be faked properly because you should be able to distinguish between the fake and the real. That's what he's saying. When somebody says Jesus is cursed, evidently he's not moving by the same spirit that God wants him to. So you listen to something like that, and you know right away that this is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. This guy is making it up. I'm going to give you an example of that. You know, I remember being many years ago, and I can give you many more examples, but I'm starting with this. At the Full Gospel Businessman meeting in Ottawa, at the citizen building there, whatever. And we were a businessman. I was the vice president at that time. And I was there, and one gentleman came in, just nicely dressed. He looked like pretty well off and respectable. And we started worshiping God in tongues. And as we were worshiping God in tongues, he started too. But he didn't speak in tongues. He was worshiping in a jungle sound like a bird. You know, wild bird in the jungle? And he was there with us. And when he started, everybody quieted down. You didn't need anybody to explain that he was off. Okay? I mean, the thing was evident. So we went there and we talked with him, and we found out that actually he thought that he could do anything that we do. We did. He wasn't born again. He was actually a Muslim. So it was another spirit operating in him. Okay? The idea is, you see, he was trying to fake it. But you can't fake the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit becomes evident to the people that have experience with that when something is strange or is not. Okay? So this is an example. Where there are many other examples. I had, in the past, example of this taking place when the Spirit started moving. You see, remember, when Jesus ministered, even in the synagogue, demons spoke out of demon-possessed people and said, what do you have to do with us? Why? When the Spirit moves, demons can't take it. And they react to it. So you're going to have the fact that there is a demonic manifestation is not a problem if you know what you're dealing with. What you have to do is take authority and stop it. Okay? Well, my meeting, we had lots of those. The first one, I think, was a young man that came, you know, looked okay. And we started singing in tongues. The guy started barking like a dog. You know what to do with that. You stop the meeting and you cast out the demon out of him. All right? Another time, we were at a meeting on, maybe some of them were there, but I don't know. We're at a meeting at a place where we were renting then. Riel. That's right. And I don't know if you were there, but this young fellow, you know, black fellow came in and started jumping like a goat with the and legs and arms, you know, just like that, and was jumping that high. I don't know how that was possible. But he was jumping that high. And it was a goat. There was no way. You know the way goats jump up? Exactly that way. Well, what do you do? Evidently, you do the right thing. There is pretty clear. Well, the problem is, you stop the thing and you deal with it. There is no problem. Today, actually, there are other situations in which you have things like snakes flowing on the floor, people moving like birds, other roaring like lions. What's that? Is it tongue? When you have things like that, don't you say it's the Holy Spirit? You have to take authority and cast out the stuff if you know what you're doing. The point is, many times the pastor don't know what they're doing because they haven't had this kind of experiences and they think it's God. The Holy Spirit does things in order. Always in order and always properly. When there is something that is improper in the world, and even non-believers can figure it out, don't get confused. Because, this is why here Paul was saying this important concept. You know, brethren, I wish you to be not ignorant about spiritual things. Many people are ignorant about spiritual things. I've been there. And I know the difference between spirit and demon. And it's not a big deal. So what? That's what we are here for. We are here to set people free. If they want to be free, we can kick the thing out. And with that, so, you see, that's important. Some people, oh my goodness, this is scary. It's not scary. The word says that we can step on scorpions and serpents. You see, we have authority. If we are talking about authority of the believer, if we have authority, there is nothing that should scare us. You know, the first revelation I have about demon was probably in the early 70s, maybe 73 or so. I had this dream, and God's, some of the gifts operate through dreams. Okay? We're going to see that later. And the Lord showed me in my dream, it actually was, you know, wasn't a dream, it was one of those visions of the night. It was, I was surrounded by demons. And I was really, nobody had talked to me about the demons. I was still a super baby Christian. I never heard anything like that, but I was definitely spirit-filled, and I was born again. And I was surrounded by these things. First thing you see something like that, you're a bit apprehensive. But the thing I realized was that when I was moving, they were backing up. I mean, today that becomes pretty clear. What was, you know, they can get close. They were all around me, but and as I was moving, they had to move. They were backing up. God was showing to me the things to come that I would understand properly. That was consoling, or was the fact that they were backing up. They couldn't get close. But you know, that was the Holy Spirit teaching me about them, without any man doing that. This is the way the Holy Spirit works. That's His job. You see, His desire and His job is to show us the spiritual world so that we are not ignorant about spiritual things. And with that, we close for today. Amen? Do you get anything? See, God wants us to be not ignorant about these things. We have authority. We have power. We have victory over them. Jesus conquered them and made a show of them. So, we have nothing to fear. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you that the Lord, your word, set us free. Your word, help us, Lord, to grow and to develop in the people you want us to be. Your word empowers us to overcome whatever things in our way. We can have victory. In Jesus' name, amen.